Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Madison down the sidelines. Can they catch him now? The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Gordon again. Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line!
Yes! It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. We have Riley Yauch behind the glass. We're in the Everlight Solar Studio. And to get this out of the way, because we have a busy show, we have Jim Polzin from the Wisconsin State Journal joining us. And he will talk about his most recent story about former women's basketball coach Marissa Mosley. He'll be talking about that along with some football and basketball things for the Wisconsin Badgers. And then John Audius, the voice of Badger volleyball and Badger women's basketball, will be joining the show as well. But to start this off, we are well aware of everything that's going on at the University of Michigan and with Sharon Moore. And we are also well aware enough to know that there is not enough information for us to dig into this. It's not the right time to talk about the football side of it, because even the football side of it is murky. So I think our stance on this show is we hope that everyone involved has the best outcome they possibly can out of this. And, you know, hopefully by next week we'll have an opportunity to talk more about it. Let's get to Clip of the Week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the Clip of the Week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Yeah, it is. And for Clip of the Week, this week we have from the Barry Alvarez Show. No Barry on this week, but Tarek Saleh was very passionate about the this place of Group of Five teams and how much James Madison and Tulane belong in the college football playoff.
That's not the problem. The problem is JMU and Tulane are in this.
Right.
This is a joke. They shouldn't be in it. They don't deserve to be in it.
A joke.
And, you know, it should be Notre Dame and Vanderbilt should be in, and or BYU, and it would be solved. We don't need to go 18 or whatever.
Texas would even have an argument.
One team would be left out, and then so what? That happens. Now you have these two jokers in there. It ruins the whole thing, all because of some bureaucratic group of commissioners.
We got to let the
There are fragmented leadership within all the commissioners of the league. They need a commissioner. They need to create a league that's going to create transparency and have the top 12 teams go in.
So how do you feel about those jokers being allowed in the college football playoff in James Madison and Tulane?
Get over it. Wisconsin, honestly, we shouldn't even be able to have a thought on this, because the Badgers would get their asses kicked by either one of these two teams, if we're fully honest about it. And this is the system that's set up. I feel like there's more than just the idea of these specific teams. It seems like Tarek and Derek are using James Madison and Tulane as straw man arguments for other things that they don't like. Look, this is how it is. And you know what? The James Madison team, they won the games they had to win to be in competition here. And that's all you ask them to do. And they beat some teams, at least of note, in Washington State and Marshall and others on there. And then Tulane, I'm sorry. Look, they beat a Big Ten team. They beat an ACC team. And then they dominated their conference. And they beat a ranked team in North Texas at the end of the year. So these teams are also throttling most of these opponents. That is something I think matters. And honestly, I'm rooting hard for them to pull off a victory. Or at least, at a bare minimum, look good in this. Because I'm old enough to remember when everyone got all upset when Boise State started making noise. And you know what? Boise State went out there and won, I believe, against Oklahoma.
That was a sick game.
Yes.
Hook and ladder, Statue of Liberty play.
That was an outstanding game.
I think I had that game downloaded on iTunes, I'm not going to lie, and I watched that as a kid. But anyway.
Don't come at me with BYU. Come on now. What are we doing here? And so in Notre Dame, you want to worry about special favor. I know for a fact that those two like Notre Dame. Are they okay with Notre Dame getting special rules? Because they are now somehow trying to backdoor their way into the college football playoffs, and Notre Dame didn't get their way this year, so they throw a hissy fit.
That's what that feels like. Yeah. That's what it feels like. They're trying to make up rules for Notre Dame, which when it goes head-to-head, Miami's
it's good
in.
For Notre Dame, but it can't be good for Tulane and James Madison. Why not?
Right, exactly. That's what you want in the college football playoff. That is why it was built, was to create parity, was to create this.
Ever watched college basketball in their lives? Yes.
But then people are like, no, 68 teams is a totally different sport. If the ACC didn't count a conference game as a non-conference game for absolutely no reason, Miami's in the ACC championship, they probably smoke Virginia, and this isn't an issue at all. But that's college football.
It's the parody of this. This is why we ended up creating the playoff, I believe, too, was to get more head-to-heads rather than just the bowl. If you don't want this, then let's just go back to the old bowl system.
Also, can we understand that this, as we always like to say, the E and ESPN is entertainment. Can we understand that this is about entertainment? And you know what we're not talking about? Miami being in it, if they're in it. And I'm not saying that's why these teams are in it, but like Tulane and James Madison have already done their job. Because these games, you're going to dial it up. You're going to watch it. You're going to want to see what happens because you want to know, can these teams hang? And let's be honest, I'm not saying they were in because of that, but that works in their favor. They're interesting, and we'll see what happens. They're acting like college football has always been above board, straight up Americanomy or whatever. Like this idea of like meritocracy of like, oh, just the best team will always go. Get out of here. Because the old ranking system was bought and paid for and moved all over the place. We have coaches, who was it? The old coach at LSU.
Chip Kelly?
No. The Ed Orgeron.
He's
the open admitting that the SEC's been paying players for years. So get out of here. Just get out. It's never been fair. It's never going to be fair. And college football is honestly on par at this point, in my opinion, with like the Olympics and FIFA. You have to expect no rules. It's the Wild West, and you're just going to have to deal with what happens. Speaking of the Wild West, let's get to the Twitter portal.
The Badgers Twitter portal.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And today we have a little longer Twitter portal. Usually I feel like this is cut short. Today we have some big storylines to discuss, starting with potentially, depending on how you look at it, the first big swing of the 2025-26 offseason for Luke Fickell and the Wisconsin Badgers, hiring Eric Mateos away from Arkansas. Wisconsin is parting ways with offensive line coach A.J. Blazek. How do you guys feel? This is a very accredited offensive line coach in Eric Mateos. He's young, and he has the offensive line accolades to back it up with how the Razorbacks performed last year. So I'll let you guys, I listed the stats on the show sheet. How do you feel about this hire?
Yeah, I love it. The fact that second overall across the country based off of the grades with the offensive line, top in the SEC. I mean, this is a big move from a power conference there. You want to go in and you talk about the big power conferences with the big boys at the SEC. I mean, this is doesn't matter what Arkansas's overall success is. If your offensive line looks good, this is a huge swing. I'm excited for it. I love in general whenever I get to see the intensity of the offensive line at practices too, but my flip-flop on the concern is just the rotating door now that Wisconsin has had for offensive coaches, even before Luke Fickell, too. So hopefully this finally gives us some type of consistency that we have with the offensive line coach.
All right. I want to be optimistic about it. I'm not going to pretend at all to know anything about the offensive line coach. I agree with you that moving offensive line coaches in and out it's not a good idea. I don't know. Maybe the Badgers should have kept Bob Bostand, and while you're at it, keep Riley Nowakowski both down at Indiana. Maybe that would have been the thing to do. Because Bob Bostand is one of the best offensive line coaches in the history of college football.
Just beat Ohio State now.
Right. And he was great here. He had a long track record of success. Maybe it should have kept him around. Or kept Rudy happy and kept him around. But none of those things are happening. Here's my quote-unquote PTSD. Mike Markison, does that ring a bell to either one of you?
Nope.
All right. He replaced, I believe, Bob Bostad as the Badgers offensive line coach and was fired mid, like four games into the season for Bart Miller. I think this was Brett's last year at Wisconsin.
Okay.
Mike Markerson, everyone was super excited because he came from the University of Arkansas in the SEC. And people were super, super pumped about what that meant.
Fair enough. Touche.
Now, back then it meant...
Well played.
And what we learned was they had a ton of talent. You didn't have to do much coaching.
Okay. Interesting. Fair enough. And he does have a lot of talent down in Arkansas. There's one guy, I know, a transfer young dude. I mean, it'd be great if he brought him with, but that... was at least in the running for some awards. I forget his name off the top of my head. But I think the other piece here that's important and gives me optimism is the fact that Mateos worked with Jeff Grimes at BYU with his best offense in 2019-2020 and at Baylor with some of his best offenses there. So Jeff Grimes has done some of his best work with Mateos, which makes me a little more comfortable.
Right. That's what I was curious about. Is he a more of a fickle hire, or is this like a Jeff Grimes suggestion? Hey, we got to bring this guy in, so it's good to know that.
Yeah, definitely seems like a Grimes guy. And now, moving on from the hires that have, or the people that have been brought into the organization, it's time to talk about some of the guys who are leaving the organization, starting with everyone's favorite Hawaiian slot receiver, Trech Kekahuna, has officially entered the transfer portal for the Wisconsin Badgers. I don't think he's getting coaxed back to Wisconsin this time around. He is definitely the most impactful player to have declared for the portal yet. So how do you guys feel about Trech's departure?
I'm disappointed not by Trech's decision, though. I'm excited for him. I can't wait to see wherever he goes with those 2 years of eligibility. I hope also he gets healthy, because that was a scary situation this year. So again, excited for him. I'm just disappointed because I know the type of dynamic player he is. I know that when he balled out, I think it was the Outback Bowl, right, if I'm not mistaken?
The ReliaQuest Bowl.
The ReliaQuest Bowl,
yes.
That's right. The ReliaQuest Bowl, where he balled out there and started to get on everyone's radar. I was just really hoping for the buzz there. Jeff Grimes even said, too, at the start of the season, when Trech was in the portal last year, he's like, why is this guy in the portal? Why is he not in our room? He was the first quote-unquote recruit that Jeff Grimes went after to try to bring him back and get him into Wisconsin. So maybe it is just a change of scenery that he needs, but I'm just disappointed because, again, so much potential there, but I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, Trech, I'm not surprised at all he's leaving, because this offense had to hand him the ball, literally, in end-arounds and things like that to really get him involved. There's no reason that he should show any more faith to the University of Wisconsin. He's been loyal enough, so I wish him luck. And I also would imagine that the Badgers are going to try to have big receivers, and Trech doesn't really fit that, and I think the slot guys are going to be less valuable in this offense. More tight ends, more big wide receivers, block for the run game is what I'm guessing they're trying to do.
There is one thing, too, that I think we might be overlooking, like from what I've seen from fan comments and everything talking about this, is that players from Hawaii too go through a lot of different things. Being in Wisconsin, I know with Nick Herbig, with Kamoi Latu, and talking with Trech Kekahuna, they go through different things too. So depending on wherever he goes, wherever he transfers, that could be another reason why as well. So maybe not just jumping onto the train of always being selfish, or he's taking the money, or all that. Sometimes those things do come into play too. I don't know exactly where he's going to go, but we do need to think about those things as well.
Yeah, that's fair. And I will say, not to totally like try and diminish that point, but he did post on his Instagram story with a caption saying, sometimes you got to do what's best for yourself, with a money bags emoji.
Yeah.
So I do think he wants money, which is fair. And I think he's going to get more money elsewhere. And if he heads back to the West Coast, that makes total sense. Now, last departure, I mean, there's also, we have guys like Tackett Curtis, who's leaving, Atticus Bertrams at punter. But another fan favorite who is leaving is Cade Iacomelli. How do you guys feel about Yak's departure from the University of Wisconsin? Does that move the needle for you at all?
It's understandable. I think, again, the potential was there, but just wasn't being utilized. I'm not sure exactly. I do like why they went with Dylan Jones and why hopefully Darian Dupree is going to be healthier. Why go that style? But, no, it would have been fun to see what Cade Iacomelli could do, but all in all, just wasn't used to his fullest. And maybe, yeah, somewhere else is knocking on his door. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, I don't think we're just going to miss Cade Iacomelli's vibes.
With all due respect. True too. 525-pound squat. That was insane.
And when he got on the freaks list, honestly, the Athletic, that was pretty cool.
That was
right.
Nasty.
It is very cool. Maybe he should play a different position.
Well, he was a defensive player. Wasn't he a linebacker? Or he was on the defensive side,
maybe?
I thought. He switched.
I'm not sure.
I believe he switched.
Could maybe Jim Polzin or something. Yeah, so I feel like something like that would make sense.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Jim Polzin. I bet he'd know.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's it for the Twitter portal.
All right, and Jim Polzin is coming up next. But if you want to make a better sleep, and if sleep has been hard to come by for you, you're not alone, and the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring their award-winning mattresses to Steinhoffels. Now you can try Helix in person, something you can't do anywhere. Right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all Helix mattress orders, just for our listeners and viewers. Head to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. Let's get to Jim Polzin.
With Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Save 10% on the styles you've been wishing for and pay later with 18-month 0% financing. Don't miss incredible holiday deals like a queen mattress $399, this sofa $399, a queen bed $399, this dining table $689. Get more holiday for less during Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. A lot of different things in the news, but I don't want it to get lost. Your story, and you guys have been on this from the beginning with Badger Extra, about the Badgers' response in court. And can you kind of update us a little bit on the timeline of this story since you guys have been covering it and the latest what's going on with the abuse allegations against former Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball coach Marissa Mosley?
Yeah, Wisconsin's response was due this week. I think they had a certain amount of time after the initial filing in July or August was made by the plaintiffs in the case. Wisconsin's came back this week. The gist of it is they want the case dismissed in part because Wisconsin doesn't think any of the athletes' civil rights or constitutional rights were, they didn't feel like those were that Wisconsin did anything against those. It was an interesting, it was 86 pages, and I got to admit, I didn't go through it all. Todd Molesky, my colleague, is really good at this stuff, and he wrote the story. He read every single word of those 84 to 86 pages. It's a lot of legalese in it, and I think it's a long ways to go in this thing. You know, from here it goes back to the plaintiffs, and eventually a judge is going to have to decide whether to keep the case going, but there's a lot in there, and certainly it's a complicated case. I was not, it's not surprising that the defense would be a complicated document.
So with that, though, the response online to some of the words and the phrasing that Wisconsin used wasn't great, and I don't need, you don't have to like put your own personal spin on it, but it did seem like Wisconsin must feel very confident in what they have, because otherwise using words like hero is strong when the allegations would imply the opposite.
Yeah, no, I think you hit on something there. I do think Wisconsin is very confident. Chris McIntosh spoke to the athletic board about a month ago and kind of previewed that this was coming. Their response was due in December and it was coming. And I think he said that day that they have the utmost confidence that, that they're right in this situation. The line you mentioned that, Marissa Mosley's actions towards athletes and mental health crises, essentially it said was not only rational, it was heroic. That's an eye opener, and it's going to leave UW open to a lot of criticism. I probably, as an outsider who admittedly doesn't know exactly what happened in the room in those situations, I probably would have left it at the word rational and not added the heroic part. Mm-hmm. Cause I think it leaves Wisconsin open to a lot of criticism, but again, they know way more, and Marissa Mosley and Justin Doherty and the University of Wisconsin knows way more about the case. And I like you said, I'll reiterate what you said. It shows that they are very confident.
Moving to the football side of things, which I don't think a lot of people have much confidence in. There's a change at the offensive line coach. You remember Markison coming in from Arkansas, so everyone's all excited about the offensive line coach from Arkansas, and that's going to make all the difference. Maybe it will, but what's your view on this program as their offseason has started up and some players leaving? Obviously, a lighter recruiting class on the high school side of things, and then some slight coaching changes.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – I guess I'll go to the offensive line coach. Has a history with Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator, so I think that's notable and maybe a sign that Jeff Grimes wanted to get in someone who was a little more comfortable with. I think we – you know, it's no secret that the offensive line has been a struggle not only this past season but multiple seasons, and they have to get it fixed. If this program is going to get back to where it wants to be and where it should be, they have to fix the offensive line. And so I think they're hoping a new voice and new leadership in that room means something. I think what I would tell fans about this offseason is it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. The new portal rules mean that you can't even really start actual business until January 2nd. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on behind the portal doesn't actually open until January 2nd. So I think it's going to be a pretty steady stream of news between now and then when it becomes official in January, and then even beyond that. I mean, guys can go in the portal officially starting January 2nd through the 15th, I believe. There's a 14-day window. That doesn't mean that Wisconsin has to fill its roster by January 15th. I think that can be a longer process if necessary. So it's going to be chaos. I think it's the rules as they are written right now. It just kind of leads to more chaos in this sport and in college athletics in general. And I think Wisconsin's going to – they have a lot of business to do this offseason, a lot of important business. But I would not expect it to be a slow trickle of news.
Jim, I think chaos is the perfect word for this too. And right now, from what we have, at least five confirmed that I'm glad that you mentioned it too. So they plan. It's they exactly said plans to enter the transfer portal, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. I mean, for me, Tretch Kakahuna, again, big name, probably the most dynamic name out of this list, especially on the offense, fan favorite and everything. You know, your takeaways on that too, and what this means for Wisconsin? Because I know too, Jeff Grimes, really interesting that he pointed out. He re-recruited him to come back to Wisconsin this past season, and now he's back in the portal again. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I can't say I'm surprised totally, because Trek has had a little bit of a commitment issue throughout his career, even going back to high school. He's changed his mind a couple times. Last year he had a foot out the door, and they recruited him to come back. I will say that I think Wisconsin made a commitment to him last year at this time. They had some guys on their short list of that they're willing to commit a couple years worth of NIL contract/deal to, and I would assume Tretch would be on that list. I don't know that for sure. So kind of this murky area of college sports now is, if you sign a contract, what does it really mean? And if you want to back out of that contract after 1 year, how does that work? So I think, I don't know if that ever sees the light of day, but I'm guessing that's kind of part of the conversation behind the scenes is figuring that stuff all out. You know, I think last year at this time, guys, you know, guys would enter the portal because there was a December window. Now, because you can't go in till January 2nd officially, I think some of these decisions are going to be kind of delayed. There's probably a lot of negotiating in terms of retaining players right now. And then even then, I think some of these guys might be waiting till the end of the semester, wait till finals is over before they actually go on Twitter and say, hey, I'm transferring.
With the basketball program, they had honestly a bad loss last night. When Fred Hoiberg's team plays better defense than yours, you're probably in some trouble. Wisconsin has three losses, Nebraska, TCU, and BYU, and obviously BYU and Nebraska, both ranked opponents. They've been able to handle the teams that they should be able to handle, but where's your thought on where this Badger basketball team is now, and where do you think they're going to tighten up? Because Greg Gard was pretty frank last night of they need to play better defense, and I've talked to former players, and they understand the new way that things are played. Like, you have to focus on offense to get offensive players, but you have to play some level of defense.
Yeah, no, he's disappointed, and he should be. I mean, I would say this. I thought this team would be better at this point of the season than it is. And I think there's – if you're concerned as a fan, I think that's valid. I do. I think the way they played defensively last night was abysmal. I think the one thing that stood out – two things stood out to me about that game. Nebraska seemed like the more connected team. Wisconsin just seems disconnected on both sides of the court. I think they're a lot of new faces trying to get used to playing with each other. The more alarming thing to me watching that game was Nebraska just played harder. Like, they were more intense than Wisconsin's. And those are controllables, right, guys? Like, you can control how hard you play. So that stood out last night to me as being something that, you know, Greg Gard's got to get fixed and get fixed in a hurry because the grind of Big Ten play is right around the corner. And this is a tough, tough league this year. And before you know it, you can find yourself in a hole in terms of record-wise. You know, if you go back to previous years, their NCAA tournament resume by this point of the season looked pretty sharp. And this year, that's a different case. Like, they just haven't built enough of a resume now that you can take some losses in Big Ten play. The good news about the Big Ten is there's plenty of opportunities to get quad one wins and quad two wins, but I don't love where this team is at right now. It's there's some areas of concern that they need to shore up.
I want to touch on the team chemistry match because I know that Greg Gard mentioned it early in the games too, or early in the season, I should say, is that they are making mistakes, but they're correctable mistakes. You mentioned how hard they play. That is a correctable thing. What are some other correctables that you think they could do to turn things around?
Yeah, I mean, like Jim already hit on defense, and I think that's one thing. You got to build some sort of synergy on that end of the court. Offensively, two things that stand out is they shoot a lot of threes, which I know is kind of the point these days, but they got caught last night shooting way too many threes. And it just, when shots aren't falling, you got to figure out something else. You got to get post touches. You got to try to get to the rim, and they just couldn't do that. Along those lines, they've got a point guard who's really, really talented at Nick Boyd and can do things that other point guards lately haven't done, but he over dribbles. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes the offense stagnant at times. They've got to get that fixed too. I think he's a really good player. I think he could be a top 15 player in the Big Ten, but right now I think he's dribbling a little bit too much at times and that slows down the rest of the offense.
Last thing we have for you, Jim, and we appreciate the time, is Badger Volleyball's got a big match coming up against Stanford. Obviously, this team, Coach Sheffield, another great season, another team that's easy to get behind. And I mean, I like their chances. I don't think they've lost yet, or obviously haven't lost anything of note in the tournament. So this is a team that's ready to roll and is playing well.
Yeah, they've been playing well really since Charlie Furbringer, the setter who was out for a while with this shoulder injury. Since she's got back better, I think things are flowing a lot better. It's a good team. Not to pitch stories or to tease stories I have, but I've done two of them last week. One is on Mimi Collier, who is just this tremendous person and kind of along the same lines of a John Tanjay and Russell Wilson, who were here only 1 year but won over the hearts of fans. And then the other story I did was this family in Cross Plains that got in this accident back in February, and they have a daughter, a 12-year-old Georgia Murphy, who this Wisconsin volleyball team has adopted in some manner. She's inspired them. They've inspired her. It's really just it's a great family. It's a great story. And I want people to read that story because there's ways you can help this family who really, really needs it financially right now.
Well, Jim, we appreciate you sharing that with us and your time. Wisconsin State Journal, Badger Extra. Always great stuff. Always enjoy reading you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Take care.
That's Jim Polzine. We're going to be joined by John Audius in a minute. But if better sleep has been hard to come by, you're not alone, and the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring their award-winning mattresses to Steinhoffels. Now you can try Helix in person, something you can't do just anywhere. Right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all Helix mattress orders just for our listeners. Head to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep at Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. John Audius starts in 30 seconds.
This season, bring home the joy with Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Save 10% on the styles you've been wishing for and pay later with 18-month 0% financing. Don't miss incredible holiday deals like a queen mattress $399, this sofa $399, a queen bed $399, this dining table $689. Get more holiday for less during Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
All right, let's bring in John Audius with Badger Volleyball, and I want to get to Badger Volleyball. They have a lot going on, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the Badger women's basketball team and the success they're having on the court, and I think if you don't mind, kind of introduce us to Badger women's basketball and tell us what they've been doing so far and why they're just so much, seems like they're playing more cohesive and just a better energized team this year.
They are way more cohesive. You guys can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, we got you now, yep.
Yeah, they are way more cohesive. They are one unit. I love that they have so many more options offensively. You know, last season it was one player who was probably the best player I've seen come through the program in my time, in Sarah Williams. But they're a better team this season. They have more players that can put the ball through the bottom of the net. I really, really like this team, guys. Like, if you haven't gotten, I think the Big Ten better be on alert. And I don't mean that in a sense that I don't know if they can compete with the UCLAs of the world, but I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and they already have with one Big Ten win. I'm super excited, and I'm super bullish on this season for Wisconsin basketball.
John, pulling back the curtain a little bit too, getting to talk to Robin Pinchton, the new head coach, and the conversations that you've had with her, the things that she shared, her philosophy, all that for, again, to introduce Badger fans here on the Jump Around, a little bit more insight about women's basketball. Tell us a little bit about Robin Pinchton and what you know about her.
You know, what I know about her so far is she's kind of a no-nonsense type of coach. She's a coach that stresses the importance of hard work. She's a coach that stresses the importance of family, of faith, of basketball. And she's also somebody who has gotten this team to become one unit quicker than I've ever seen. They have this we over me mentality that, you know, nothing's more important than the front of your jersey. Doesn't matter what it says on the back of your jersey. It's the front of the jersey that matters. And it shows, you know, on the court with the way they play. It shows, I think, I don't know if you guys know this, but during starting lineups, they don't do a starting five. They introduce Wisconsin as one unit. And that's something that she asked the team, like, do you guys have any interest in this? I think the Patriots did it a while ago, and the whole team was like, yes, we want to do this. And so it's really cool to see them come out as one unit. I love that. And if you ever watch them after win and you've seen some of these post-game interviews, the entire team joins. Like last game against Michigan State, the win over Michigan State, Gift Uchenna was the person being interviewed, but the whole team was behind her, and they've done that several times. And I love that team unity, and I think that's something that that team unity, that we versus me, this is something that as they get better. Here's the thing, guys. I think they have a lot of room to improve, and they're really good right now. And I think this attitude or this mantra, this mindset of team first is only going to help as they get deeper and deeper in the Big Ten season.
Moving to the volleyball side of things, they have a big match coming up against Stanford, but they haven't lost a set so far in the tournament. This is a team that has really come on as of late. John, what do you think the biggest difference has been that's made this team start cooking again?
It's been Charlie Furbringer coming back. You know, since she's been back, they've lost one match with her as the starting setter. And that's not to take anything away from Addie Horner, who was a freshman backing up Charlie in her first match, was at Penn State, a place where Wisconsin as a program in history has won three times. She also faced Nebraska, a team that hasn't lost. So this is nothing to take away from Addie Horner, but I think it's Charlie Furbringer. And I think you saw right away in her first match back, just the timing and just being in sync, especially with somebody like Carter Booth, who's just, she is finishing at the very best. You know, she has ascended right at the very end of her career. It's really fun to watch her, just how dominating she's been. She hasn't had a hitting error her last three matches, but it's been Charlie, and it's been her ability to find Carter. You know, that's the thing. Like, if you're a really good setter, you can find your middle blockers when you don't necessarily, you know, when you're in system, it's easy to find a middle blocker. The defense has to be like, okay, where are they going with the ball? But when you're out of system, Charlie has this ability to get the ball where the defense doesn't expect it to be. And I think it's been Furbringer. I think it's been their offense, which is on pace to set a school record for hitting percentage. So, and it's been Mimi Collier as well. I mean, I can't believe, if you had asked me at the start of the season, you know, what's a good year for Mimi Collier? I would say, well, okay, the school record is about four and a half kills per set from Sarah Franklin last year. And I don't know if anyone's going to touch that. Like, can she get to about 4 kills per set? And I would have said, like, that's a great season. Mm-hmm. She's shattered that. She's up over 5.3, which is just crazy, crazy.
Was Charlie's first game back, was that Illinois? I believe so. I think I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that one. Yeah, but yeah. I felt like I was at that game and everyone was surprised.
Yeah, actually, Indiana. Indiana Sunday match, I believe.
Yeah,
she broke the news to me, by the way, which was awesome because I was like, how are you coming? Are things going well if you're you know, coming back on the court? She's like, I'm playing today. So, yeah, it was Indiana.
Yeah, so perfect. I was at that game. Then I guess I got the teams mixed up, the eyes mixed up at the game I was at. I was watching her, and it honestly gave me a vibe of like John Stockton type point guard. And just trying to explain it to those who watch volleyball, but I don't know enough about volleyball to have a real strong opinion about what's going right or wrong or who's doing well outside of like just watching it as a fan, which is fun. So I put it in regular in sports that I normally watch sort of way. And Charlie feels like a point guard that just sets everyone else up to be at their absolute best. Is that a fair way to describe what the secret to her sauce is?
Yeah, that's funny. You know, most of the time, Kelly will describe setters as the quarterbacks of the team. So maybe a football analogy I've never really thought about from the basketball point guard analogy. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, John Stockton, solid. He can, you know, score or you know, keep the defense on their toes if needed. So can Charlie. She obviously distributes the ball well to her teammates and puts them in the best. And that's the thing. Like, as a setter, Charlie has this ability not only to get the ball to somebody that maybe the defense isn't expecting, but then, you know, Kelly describes her as one of the best back row setters in the country. So when we've got Mimi Collier flying in from the back row, that ball needs to be precise. You know what I mean? Like, everything needs to be in sync when you're taking a big leap from the 10-foot line, from behind the 10-foot line. So yeah, I like that, putting everybody in their best positions, getting the ball exactly where they need to get the ball to be successful.
I might have just thought it because it looks like a boatload of alley-oops out there. Man. So maybe that's why basketball came to mind.
It's really fun. It's really fun getting to watch him do that. John, I wanted to build off of what Jim Polzin had said, too, with going to Mimi Collier, saying that she had the exact type, or feels like the exact type of impact that Russell Wilson, John Tanjay had in just a 1 year. From your perspective, getting to know her, too, because I agree, Mimi's an awesome person, too. She's so phenomenal. She is so cool to get to know, and how much she's embraced being at Wisconsin just for this 1 year and 1 year alone and just enjoying the ride every single way. What's your perspective on how much she's embraced Wisconsin and vice versa, how much fans have embraced her?
Yeah, I mean, she's been embraced by the fans, by the young fans. You know, I have a young daughter, and you know, everybody loves Charlie and Mimi, and just to be able to do that in one season. And, you know, Russell Wilson, I was covering that Badger football team, doing the pregame and some postgame stuff, and it was obvious, you know, how much he meant to the team and just the impact he had. And that's the same thing with Mimi. You know, without Mimi Collier, she does so many things. Not only can she terminate in so many ways, especially out of the backcourt, but then that brings, you know, Kelly constructs the offense around the pieces that he has. He doesn't try to fit the pieces into what he wants. He's like, well, she's really good out of the back row, so we're going to have a bunch of swings out of the back row. And they've got a lot of players to do that. So not only does she provide the Badgers with offense, she's only had one match this season under 10 kills. She's had 17 in a row in double figures since that match, which is second all time in a single season. You know, talk about the record books with kills, and she needs 21 kills in the match on Friday, or perhaps 21 total through the next two matches if Wisconsin wins, to set the all-time school record in 25-point rally scoring. But she also takes pressure off of the other Badger attackers, you know, in the middle. So now everybody knows we got to stop Mimi Collier, and nobody can. And then all of a sudden you've got Grace Egan opened up for a shot, or Carter Booth or something, you know, it just opens up the entire offense when Mimi's on the court. So she impacts it in not only what she does, but, you know, just the ability to get her teammates better attempts.
The Badgers have Stanford coming up. What is that? What are we looking at there? What's the matchup? Like, what are the Badgers' chances?
Wisconsin's never beaten Stanford. But, you know, that's history. That's not now. But just keep that in mind. You know, I talked to Kelly. I wrote it down here. Hold on. Let me grab this here. You know, I asked him, what's the difference at this type of the season? Because this is the 13th straight regional semifinal for Wisconsin. This is the, if they win, it would be the eighth straight trip to the regional final. You got to serve aggressively. You have to defend their primary shots, and you have to have the ability to get them out of system. If we start seeing those things, if Stanford is hitting around that 230, 240, 250 mark, and Wisconsin is doing what Wisconsin's done this season offensively, that's a good sign for the Badgers. But, you know, Stanford has a lot of great attackers on their side. The one of the keys, I think, might be, although Kelly says that the level of play doesn't drop off when Stanford does this, but they have their backup setter got them into the Sweet 16. Their primary setter didn't play, and she's had some health issues. Don't know exactly the health issues. Kelly said like a head injury. I'm guessing some sort of concussion protocol or something like that, but I don't know. It's the setting, you know, that intrigues me the most. Who's going to be out there setting for them? Now, Kelly says the difference doesn't drop off, but I would think if you can face a backup setter, that's got to give you some sort of leg up. So I would say those things that Kelly told me, and then we'll just see who Stanford puts out there at setter.
John, excited to hear you on the call on 100.5 and also on the ESPN Wisconsin app for the games. Just whether you're here in Madison or not, I mean, I know you're probably enjoying yourself in the warm weather in Austin, but either way, this time of year, getting to call these games at this level at this time of the year, how exciting is it? What gets you amped up the most about this time of the season?
It's just the importance of it, and it's, you know, win or go home. It's that mentality, and there's nothing better than it. And you know, I was thinking about the 13 straight Sweet 16s. When I first started calling volleyball games, you know, the joke around the radio station was I was the jinx because they had gotten to the tournament for so many seasons in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, no tournament. And then to have 13 straight Sweet 16s, it's pretty fun to be able to be in those moments. To have 7 straight Elite Eights, to have 5 Final Fours, to have a national championship and call 3 national championships, like, you know, this is a very rare thing that's been happening over the last decade plus at Wisconsin. So I try not to take it for granted. I try to enjoy the moment as best as I can and just get excited because this is what you play for. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a great regular season. That's awesome, winning Big Ten titles. It's fantastic. But people really remember what happens in the postseason. And that to me is the most exciting time of any sport, is the postseason. I mean, that's why you're playing the game, to win the whole thing. Right. So yeah, I'm super jacked when it comes to these type of atmospheres. And I try not to take it for granted to be able to be in this atmosphere.
Well, as Pablo said, you can listen to the game on the ESPN Wisconsin app and on ESPN Madison here in Madison. Also, we have the announcer cam on ESPN Madison's YouTube stream with John on it.
We don't have a postseason. Okay, announcer cam in postseason, unfortunately.
Yeah. My bad.
Go to the app
then, and you can listen.
Or listen on 100.5.
Or listen on 100.5 ESPN. John, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's John Audius. This has been the Jump Around live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels.